This is LA's home for the Dodgers.
Somehow makes the play.
And you're listening to Off-Season Dodger Talk.
He bobbles it, which falls face first, somehow picks it up, throws behind his back with his face in the dirt, throw to first base to Gonzalez and makes the play.
Call 866-987-2570 and talk to your host, David Massé.
Welcome to Nissan Dodger Talk. 32 days until pitchers and catchers report to Glendale, Arizona. Camelback Ranch, the Dodgers, ready to go to try to repeat as National League champions and hopefully win the World Series 1988, 30 years ago. So the Dodgers will be celebrating that anniversary of the last World Series team in Dodger Blue to raise that championship banner. But hopefully in 2018, it is the Dodgers. And if you want spring training tickets, you could go to Dodgers.com. And don't forget, FanFest for the Dodgers is Saturday, January 27th. But tonight, we have a man that is going to be a thorn in the Dodgers' side for years to come. But he's a local boy, and we all love him, and he's going to be in studio with us for the full hour, taking your questions at 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. And he has a special place with me because we both went to Notre Dame High School. He is, I don't know, I would have directed him to Cal State Northridge instead of becoming a professional baseball player, but that's the one and only Hunter Green. Hunter, thanks for coming by.
What's up? What's going on?
Oh, man, this is great to have you in here.
Great to be here.
First radio show interview in studio?
Come on, just say yeah. It. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. It is, yeah.
So what do you think about my advice? You know, I went to Notre Dame High School, and I decided to take my talents to Cal State Northridge, but you've decided to forget about Northridge and become a professional baseball player.
Yeah, I think this was a little bit better of a road.
How dare you?
My mom's a Northridge alumni.
Oh, so, yeah, proud Matador?
Yep, she's a proud Matador.
How about Big Russ, your dad?
No, he went to Humboldt State, so that's where he went. He played football out there and did his thing and finished his years in college out there in Humboldt State.
I would never mess with your dad. Was that what kept you in line? Is that why you're so well-mannered? Your dad, the fear of your father.
He can be intimidating sometimes, yeah, but he's always pushed me, so that's always good to have someone like that in my life for sure.
The number two pick in the Major League Baseball amateur draft, just leading up to that whole thing, what was it like? Did you have a viewing party? What goes on for a draft in baseball? It's not like the NBA. It's not like the NFL. So did you have your family over your house? What was going on?
You know, we actually went to New York and MLB Network Studio in Secaucus, New Jersey. So that was awesome. We had the chance to stay home or we had the chance to go out to New York, and we took the chance to go out there. And I had a great time. A lot of family was there, friends. My friend Justin Rourke was out there. Coach Tom Dill was out there from Notre Dame.
Yeah.
So that was awesome. He was there to support me. And it was just a great experience. I was there with Jordan Adell, Bubba Thompson, and I'm blanking on the other kid that was there. But it was a great time. We got to just be all together and experience that moment. So that was really special.
You've been able to handle all the attention that you've had really well. Was anything abnormal for you in your senior year of high school, just walking around campus and the publicity you were getting? I mean, I know a lot of people probably wanted to go to prom with you. And, you know, Kobe Bryant brought Brandy to his prom. Were you thinking about going that route? I mean, how was your senior year, and did you think about calling somebody like Brandy to go to prom with?
That's funny. No, I mean, senior year was awesome. I did have a lot of exposure and a lot of attention, but I was used to it. I committed, you know, as you know, freshman year at 14 to UCLA, so I was already under the microscope at a young age. So I was already kind of used to that, and I knew how to handle myself and be mature about it. And I got through senior year, you know, healthy and clean. You know, I didn't have any problems, any issues off the field, and I was healthy. So I was blessed to have that. And no, I mean, I went to prom with a friend, and that was really it. So didn't bring any celebrities or anything.
I think I remember seeing your prom picture. Were you wearing that bass hat to prom?
No.
I thought you wore the tuxedo and that bass hat.
I didn't have any to match with. Yeah, I had like these, I had burgundy accents on my suit. So like, I didn't have any burgundy Bass Pro hats. I had a black one, but I didn't think it was flashy enough.
You know, people don't realize when they see you, you're from Southern California. Yeah. You didn't just move here and all of a sudden go to Notre Dame. I mean, some people do think Santa Clarita is like somewhat Western.
Sure.
but I mean, the Bass Pro Shop hat, how did that originate? And I know you've retired it now.
Yeah, you know, I don't think anybody kind of influenced me to wear it. It was just, you know, the Bass Pro Shop's store in Rancho Cucamonga, we always passed by there, and I was like, Dad, that store is huge. I really want to go and check it out. So we went in there, and I was blown away. They have this huge fish tank. They have boats in there. They have all these clothes. They have fishing rods. They have everything that you could ever imagine in that store. And I was like, man, I need to get something. You know, I need to get something while I'm here, get a hat, get a shirt, get something. So I went over to the rack, and they're like 99-cent hats. And they're sweet. So I was like, man, I got to get at least like 5 or 10 of these. So I think in my closet I have
5 or 10?
Yeah, I got like 10 or 12 Bass Pro hats in all different colors. And my friends from the South, they love it because they have Bass Pro Shops there and they go fishing all the time. So it's funny just to see a Southern California kid rocking a Bass Pro hat.
Maybe you should, since you're not going to wear them anymore, you feel like you're becoming a man now and you don't need to wear that hat.
Sure.
You can sign the hats and maybe auction them off for charity.
Yeah, that's an idea. You're right.
Everybody associates you, or at least I do, with that Bass Pro Shop hat. I was like, what is going on with this kid?
It's popular. I made it even more popular. I wore it in almost every picture. Like social media, I was rocking that hat on like every single picture.
Yes, so. you should have a commercial or something.
Yeah,
for
get
them.
Sponsored. I know, that's what I was saying earlier. I think that'd be a good idea.
Well, you know, Goodyear Arizona has not really come into 2018 like other places have, and they do have a lot of Cabela shops and a lot of Bass Pro Shop type of stores that you can walk through.
Yeah, I've been to the one actually at Westgate. They have the Westgate Mall there, and it's right across the way. I've been there a couple times, and it's cool. It's a little different than Bass Pro, but I still like it. It has a lot of cool stuff that's interesting to look at and check out. So
Hunter Green is our guest. He is in the Reds organization, but you know him here in Southern California from Notre Dame High School. He was drafted number 2 in the 2017 amateur draft. And this past weekend, Hunter, you did a lot of community work you have done throughout your entire life, and that's been inspired by, I assume, your parents. And you had your first annual baseball camp / baseball fest out there at Darby Park in Inglewood.
Yep.
How did all that come together, and what has inspired you to be that type of person?
Yeah, you know, my family came together, and we thought it was a great idea to just give back. I mean, that's been the biggest thing. You know, I know I'm not in the big leagues yet, but I feel like I don't have to be there to have to give back to the community. I think I have the pedestal already to do it, the social media platform, and that's what made it easy, to be honest with you. You know, all the followers and all the people that, you know, I have connections with to get together and go out to Inglewood and be able to put an awesome camp on. You know, that was a great experience. And I just love giving back. You know, I think it's the biggest thing, and giving those kids the resources and the people in their lives that I had that they're not as fortunate to have or be exposed to. For me to do that was very special and important for me to do.
Yeah, and I feel like even if you weren't a professional baseball player, just knowing you for a short amount of time, it seems like your family would still do something to help others.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. That's always been, you know, in our blood to do that, and that's the biggest thing, and to help those kids build a passion for the game of baseball. You know, it's kind of dying out in the African American culture, and you know, I think it's the best sport, and I love playing, and I think it opens up a lot of doors for kids and great opportunities. So for them to have, you know, the right people, the right coaches, and then the right guidance off the field to be good people and be good Samaritans, be good Major League Baseball citizens. Is something that I wanted to bring to the city of Inglewood.
What really impressed me, too, was not only the camp, but even more so, you went down to Skid Row last Saturday with your dad and your mom and your family and handed out hygiene kits for the homeless people at the L.A. Mission. How did that come about, and what drove you to do that? Because that's not just donating money or throwing cash at somebody. Right. You're actually putting hands on people that really need help.
Yeah, you know, I did the sock drive last year. I think I got 2,600, like something like that, pairs of socks within, I want to say, like 3 weeks. And that was, like I said before, using my social media platform. I have a lot of followers, a lot of people that like to tune in and see what I'm doing. And that's what I did. So I reached out on Instagram, Twitter, and told people, hey, donate these hygiene kits. So we had mouthwash, toothbrush, toothpaste, deodorant, and I think that's it. So we had that all in kits, and we went down to Skid Row with my dad, my Uncle Jeff, his son Clayton, my good teammate and classmate Carter Kessinger, who's still at Notre Dame High School. He's a good pitcher, good friend of mine. And we just went out there, and I think it's important to have the interaction with the homeless instead of just going out there and just kind of throwing things at them and just kind of dipping. So I thought it was important to actually have the interaction and look them in the eye and help them out as much as I can and just kind of make their day, even though they're going through something really tough that hopefully I don't have to experience. It's very important to go back and help those people out as much as possible.
Wow. It's very impressive what you've done, because guys that are 20 years older than you or 10 years older than you that have a lot more don't seem to do that. And for you to still take care of L.A. as you're with the Reds, it kind of reminds me of one of the guys that was at your camp, Eric Davis, who did that as a player, as a superstar player. He always came back to Crenshaw and the inner city to help his hometown, and it seems like that's something you want to do as you continue to grow.
Definitely. He even talked about Eric Davis even talked about that at the camp. You know, he's touched every single Little League park out there and pretty much Southern California. So that's a legacy I want to leave behind and help as many kids out as possible and spread that passion for the game of baseball.
How much of a connection do you think you'll have with Eric, since he kind of is on the same was on the same track as you, drafted out of high school, different high school, not Notre Dame, but he went to he went to the Reds, you're with the Reds, and you still seem to have the same passion to help the inner city in Los Angeles. How much do you think your relationship is going to continue to grow, and how much of a mentor and a guy that you'll lean on as you continue to go through the Reds organization will he be?
Yeah, Edie's awesome. We met for the first time, I think, when he came out to Billings, Montana, when I was out there.
Oh, geez.
And we really kicked it off well. Barry Larkin was also out there, and Edie, we talked in the dugout. I still wasn't playing at that time. You know, I was still resting and trying to build myself up to start pitching. So I was in the dugout like every game, you know, for a while, and he was there, and we just talk about giving back as much as we can, his past, his history, on just helping the community back in Inglewood and other cities in Southern California. And it's something that I've always wanted to do and that I enjoy doing. So he's great, and I look forward to keeping my relationship with him as much as I can.
He's Hunter Green. He's with the Reds. He was drafted this past summer, second overall in the amateur draft, and he is in the Reds organization. You'll probably see him out there if you go out to spring training and check out Goodyear, Arizona. He'll be on full display out there if you're going out to check out the Dodgers. Head to Goodyear to see Hunter Green as well from Notre Dame High School. And we're going to take a quick time out here. When we come back, we'll open up the phone lines, 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Your chance to talk to Hunter Green. And also, we have a lot more to ask Hunter, but specifically his connection to one of the all-time great Dodger pitchers in their history. We'll let you know what that's all about right here on Dodger Talk on AM 570 LA Sports.
I get those goosebumps every time, you come around, you ease my mind, you make everything feel fine. Worry about those calls, I'm way too numb,
Ronnie Fascio has never played this song in his life, but this is for Hunter Green. Hunter Green request, right?
Straight heat.
Come on.
I've been to like... Oh, man, you want me to sing?
Yeah.
Oh, come on, man. I can't sing. I've been to, like, I think 6 or 7 Travis Scott concerts. I'm a true Travis Scott fan. I really am.
I have to start listening to him. I know this song, but I don't know the deeper stuff.
He's huge. Yeah. He does a great... His energy at concerts is unbelievable.
I know this song, Ronnie. Come on.
Yeah, Kendrick's in this song.
Yeah. This is a popular song right there.
They play it, like, every 4 minutes, it feels like, on the radio.
Yes.
It's like back to back to back.
Yes, and sometimes in the Dodger clubhouse, it's on too.
Oh, I'm sure.
That's funny. We were talking about the Bass Pro Shop hat. So I pegged you as a country music fan. That's what I'm all like. Oh, this guy's one of those country music guys.
That's funny.
But no country music at all.
No country music for me. Yeah, that's not really my
music. Me either.
Music,
me either.
Yeah, I've been to a couple. No, I haven't been to a couple. I've been to like one country show. When I was in North Carolina for USA. Some people from across the street I'm really good friends with, they go to country concerts all the time, so I went with them one time.
It's hard to avoid it in North Carolina.
Yeah, it is. I think it was like Antelope Amphitheater or something like that. It was, yeah, something in the middle of nowhere.
That says it,
was
it cool. All.
Yeah, everybody was in their cowboy boots. I think I was in like,
your Bass Pro Shop hat.
Yeah, Bass Pro. I definitely was rocking the Bass Pro Shop hat. You're right.
Trying to blend in North Carolina.
Trying to blend in.
Oh, this guy's from North Carolina. Tobacco Row right here. Hunter Green.
For real.
Hey, Hunter Green's in studio. He's willing to take your phone calls. You are, right? I didn't ask you this before.
Yes, call.
You will take phone calls.
I will take phone calls. We have Izzy and Gatson on here.
Gaston. Oh, like Gaston Green.
Yeah, Gaston.
Or Cito Gaston.
Yeah.
He's a big fan of mine. You want to hear Gaston? Gaston. Gaston at Boyle Heights. You're on with Hunter Green. Say hi, Gaston.
Hey, wow. This is amazing. In the presence of two of the three legends of Notre Dame High School, one past, one future, and one current, man. That's I guess we're missing the current one.
Awesome.
He decided to go to the dreaded pinstripe.
hey, awesome, guys.
Whatever.
What's up?
Whatever. Hey, man. I was telling the screener that I admired you, but now I really like you, man. That thing that you've done for the homeless is pretty awesome, and I think it comes a lot from your upbringing. Probably your parents have a lot to do with it.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm sure your high school education also encouraged it a lot.
Yeah, definitely.
Being
thank
that
you.
you're a product of a Catholic high school, just like DV. But hey, I wish you all the luck out there in the Cincinnati organization or the Reds organization. A lot of legacy that you got to fill. I mean, you spoke about your encounter with Eric Davis, who was a great Dodger at one time, but of course a Cincinnati Red. Oh man, I remember my dad used to hate the big red machine. Man.
They were hard to beat. Yeah, they were hard to beat.
Oh, sorry, Gaston. I hit you by accident. He's done. He was really,
oh,
he likes,
man.
Yeah, I mean, all he was doing was kissing your butt.
That's savage.
He's just kissing your butt.
Dang.
I love Gaston, but I mean, we have a lot of calls. We gotta get,
get
people through this, man.
All right. Thanks, Gaston. Appreciate it. Much love.
The one thing I hear from millennials like you, Hunter, is that you don't watch baseball. Were you a baseball fan or did you just like playing it?
You know, I like watching baseball. I like going to the games. Going to the games is awesome. I enjoy doing that. But for me, it's just, like, I really like playing baseball. If you ask people, like major league guys, some guys really like to watch it. I do it mainly so I can learn things. But I really love playing the game. Like, it's hard. Like, my patience for kind of watching it, it kind of runs out. But I mainly watch it just for studying people and how to get better with pitches and hitting, you know, strategies and stuff like that, and watching for certain signs and how guys are playing the game. So that's really me. But if you like, I know some guys that don't like to really watch it as much either, and they just love playing it.
Yeah,
and that's just kind of me, you know, to be honest with you.
I've never heard you ever say like, this is the guy I try to pattern my game after. Is there anybody that you really like locked in on?
Yeah, you know, for me, it's like I'm my own person. So like, I like to do it the Hunter Green way.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Like, I like that. That's a good slogan.
Yeah. So
the Hunter Green way.
Obviously, there's people that I've looked at and that I've liked how they play the game of baseball. Like Rafael Furcal, I've shared before how he played shortstop with the Dodgers. I loved watching him play. Goose Gossage was somebody I like to watch on tape.
Wow.
Obviously, I don't think I was alive when he was playing.
No, I don't think you were.
Yeah, but I watched the documentary Fastball, and I got to watch how he pitched. I really liked him. Bob Gibson, too, watching him pitch.
Are you intimidating on the mound? Because you're such a nice guy.
Oh, yeah. I'm totally different on the mound. When I cross those lines, I'm totally different.
Because Kershaw's a great guy. Alex Wood, great guy. Rich Hill, great guy.
Yeah.
But at different points of the day they're pitching, the switch flips.
Oh, yeah.
When does the switch flip from nice guy Hunter Green to the guy that has to get you out?
Right after my long toss, before I get onto the, before I start my bullpen, before the game, that's when, like, the switch totally changes. And you have to be. Like, if you want to be successful, especially in the game, for any sport, really, you got to have that edge. You got to have that chip on your shoulder. You got to be a different person. Especially now that I'm playing with grown men,
you know,
I'm still 18. I can't be the soft guy. I can't do that. You know, you really got to go compete and go after guys and challenge them and show them that you belong, you know, in that environment, and you're there to compete and go after those guys.
Was that something you had to learn? Because you are a nice guy. You have such a great upbringing by your parents. Mm-hmm. Was it difficult for you to become that type of bulldog and really flip that? Or you just have
maybe my dad would really know that more. I mean, not really. I feel like I've kind of always had that. But maybe my dad would say different just from coaching me, you know, all these years and coaching me when I was a kid. Maybe there was a time where I totally changed, but to be honest with you, like, I think I've always kind of had that, you know, in me.
Hunter Green's in studio with us until 8 o'clock. 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Hunter, I mentioned that you have a friendship with a great Dodger pitcher. Pitched in Brooklyn,
yep.
And he is the man that was part of the 1955 World Series team the Dodgers brought to Brooklyn, and that's Don Newcomb. How did you guys connect? I know Don lives out in the Valley, but how much has he meant to you and been some sort of fatherly figure in baseball for you?
Yeah, Don and his wife actually read my Sports Illustrated article, and they, I guess they really liked the story and they wanted to meet. We never got to meet in the Valley. You know, I think they live in Sherman Oaks, not too far from Notre Dame. But we met when I went to Dodger Stadium before the draft. I think it was like a month or two before the draft. I saw you there. We talked and hung out a little bit. But we kicked it off really well. Mr. Newcomb was really inviting and really outgoing about it. And he brought me up to his suite. And we actually ate dinner at Dodger Clubhouse. Dodger Dugout Club?
Yeah, the Stadium Club below. Diamond Club, they
call
it.
Diamond Club, yeah. So we
ate
there.
I've never been allowed to eat there.
Oh, it's so good.
You already, one-upped me.
Yeah, it's bomb.
The security guard stops me.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh, man.
I'm not allowed in there.
Wow.
Yeah.
I got to talk to him. That's my man.
Yeah. Richard. He's a great
Richard.
Guy.
Richard. Richard's awesome.
Great ping pong player.
Outstanding ping pong player.
How do you know that?
We talk all the time when we go down there. Yeah. I play ping pong. I love to play. I'm really good at it. At least I think I am. And I really want to play him in a game.
Yeah. You know,
so I look forward to that.
He's the ringer in Kershaw's ping pong tournament. You know that, right?
Yeah, I know he throws the ping pong tournament. I didn't know.
Richard gets in. He gets a sponsor.
Oh, wow.
And he's in the tournament, and Kershaw's like, who is this guy?
Sure.
And now he's uncovered. He's been there like two or three times, but Richard's a great guy.
Yeah.
At the Diamond Club. He does let me in, by the way. I don't want to throw him under the bus.
But, yeah, so we ate there, and we talked about, you know, his past and his history, and it was amazing. And then we went up to his suite that he has there, and we talked pitching grips, just about the game of baseball. And he shared some amazing stories, you know, that I like to keep private between us. But some amazing stories he had with Jackie Robinson and a couple other players. And it's awesome because, you know, Jackie Robinson's someone I looked up to, and I still do. And to hear that he actually had an interaction with them, and they were really good friends and played together and went through the same things together. It was really special to hear that come from him, and just things that I never knew about Jackie, and you know, the experiences that he had to go through with Jackie. It was very very impressive, but also very touching too to hear that side of the story. But yeah, he's great, and his wife is very nice, and you know, I look forward to seeing them again soon.
You handled yourself really well that day out at Dodger Stadium behind the cage with major league players, and it doesn't seem like you were intimidated. Do you feel like you kind of have to have that kind of stance even in that setting because you may face one of those guys and you can't let them have any kind of intimidation even at that point in time?
Yeah, but I mean, people are people, you know, and I learned that at such a young age with my dad. You know, he deals with a lot of celebrities, and I'm fortunate enough to actually meet those people and go with them. And people are just people. Like, they don't want to be, I guess, like,
they don't want to be put on a pedestal.
Yeah, they don't want to put on a pedestal. Yeah, yeah, like they don't.
Like,
they don't
Gaston was trying to put you on a pedestal. That's why I had to cut him off. I mean, he was really kissing your butt. I was like, whoa, pump the brakes.
So they just want to be treated like normal people.
Yeah.
So that's the approach I definitely have towards, you know, people that are professionals and that are celebrities. So and then just building a relationship with them. You know, as soon as I can build a relationship with somebody that's that I'm going to be facing and playing against or playing with one day, is that I always look forward to the opportunity.
You know, it's funny you mentioned how people just want to be treated as people. And I've been wanting to ask you this because ever since you were drafted, especially since you were drafted, it seems like the national media is trying to put you on a certain level that the expectations can never be fulfilled. And I've come to your defense on Twitter about it and kind of just made people just slow down a little bit about who you are, what you mean to a lot of different groups of people. But how do you feel about the national media, even before you've thrown one pitch in the big league, saying you're the guy that's going to get African-Americans back involved into baseball? Do you resent that a little bit? Do you feel like that's too much for you to handle? And how do you feel about guys just jumping the gun and saying you're that guy?
Yeah, you know, sometimes it can kind of be a long shot for changing the numbers in professional baseball. One, just because I'm really not there yet. And then two, two, MLB, they get their players mainly from college, and I didn't go to college. So to have that impact in college baseball, not going to happen. But for me, what I can do is, like the camp in Inglewood, I can go out to camps like that and inspire the youth to love the game of baseball and have a passion for it so they continue to play and get better and better and then play pro ball. You know, so that's the areas that I look to increase the numbers of African Americans in the game of baseball.
Are you embracing that? Are you trying to embrace what they're trying to put on you? Because I feel like it just is too much. They're not letting it happen organically. It seems like they're trying to force it. Like the media is trying to force you to be this symbol for African Americans.
I mean, yeah, but I had that envision for myself, and my family had that envision for me way before media did. So for me to come out and start saying that stuff, I don't mind it. I don't pay attention to it because I already had that envision for myself anyways.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to do that at a very young age, especially watching Jackie and what he did for the game of baseball. That's something that I wanted to follow. So I had that envision for myself way before the media did. So when they say stuff like that, sometimes it can be a long shot, but essentially that's what I want to do. I want to help kids in the community and that are younger build a passion for the game. And I can do that by doing the camps, going out and speaking and, you know, throwing these camps for kids and giving them opportunities as best I can.
866-987-2570 is the phone number. Pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. You could call in and ask about Hunter Green, or you could talk to Hunter Green, ask him any questions as he is embarking on his first spring training with the Cincinnati Reds from Notre Dame High School in just about 32 days. 32 for the Dodgers, 32 for you two?
Yeah, February 28th is when I report, so how many days that is.
Yeah, I can't count that high. I failed math geometry at Notre Dame twice. Let's go out to Woodland Hills. Bob, you're on with the one and only Hunter Green. Say hi.
Hey, Hunter Green, congratulations. You're going to be having a wonderful career, and we're going to be proud as a person from the Valley.
Thank you, Bob. I appreciate that. It means a lot.
Well, I want to ask you kind of specifically, given your two skills, offensively and pitching, and defense and short, is that where you play short?
Yeah, shortstop and pitcher. Primarily it's pitching now, but before in high school, that's what it was, pitching and shortstop.
That is exactly my question. As going into being a professional, number one, where do you see yourself and what do you want to do? And are the Reds pushing you one way or another?
Yeah, you know, I was drafted primarily as a pitcher, so that's what I look forward to doing, and I love pitching. That's my passion, and that's what I love to do. You know, when I have the ball in my hand, I feel like I'm in control of the game, you know, the most out of every position. So I love pitching. I love competing, you know, on the mound and going after guys and just pounding the zone and throwing as best as I can and competing. So I enjoy doing that. But, you know, it's changed. You know, going from high school, it's different playing. I forgot how many games I played, but it's not close to 162 games a season. So, you know, once you start doing that, even though I'm in the minor leagues, I'm playing about 144 now this upcoming season. That's a lot of games, you know, to play both positions, shortstop and pitch. It's a lot of throwing. It's a lot on the arm. It's very physical as well. So I want to pick a position that I love to do, and that's pitching, and be the best at that. It's the difference between being good or being the best, and focusing on one position, it'll help me be the best instead of just being average.
So you're not going to be Ohtani and try to do both?
No. I'm very excited to see what Ohtani does, though. He's actually with my agency, so hopefully I'll get to meet him and see what he's going to do. But that's an exciting player, too. He's awesome.
Yeah, Nez is a great guy at CAA.
Yeah, Nez is the guy. I love Nez.
Maybe he could connect you with Andre Ethier.
Yeah, he's at CAA, too.
He's a recluse in Arizona, though. Stay away from him. Hunter Green is in studio with us. We're going to take one more break, so this is your last chance to get online to ask him a question. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. This is Nissan Dodger Talk. David Vasse, Hunter Green in studio. It's the Notre Dame High School Show right here on AM570 LA Sports. Chain. Cardi B
Chase, Chase, Leonard can't tell me nothing. Bossed up and I changed the game. It's my big bronze buggy, got all them girls shook. My big fat ass, got all them boys shook.
This is Nissan Dodger Talk. David Vasse with you until 8 o'clock, and we have a very special in-studio guest tonight. The number two draft pick in the amateur draft this past summer. And from Notre Dame High School, a proud knight, Hunter Green and Sports Illustrated cover boy. I got it right here.
Woo.
Been worn and torn a little bit. You know, I don't just look at the pictures. I actually read it. So what was this like when you made the cover of Sports Illustrated in your high school uniform?
Crazy. I am the first African-American high school player ever on Sports Illustrated.
Wow.
Yes. LeBron.
I was going to say LeBron was on the cover in high school.
Was he?
Okay, how about baseball?
Baseball. There we go. That's what it is. That's so that was awesome, to get on the front cover. You know, we'd been trying to push in, we've been trying to push, you know, for a long time, with my agency and with my dad to get on the front cover. I think we were just going to get an article in Sports Illustrated, but we really wanted to get the front page, and, we were able to make it happen. We did a great job, CAA, my agency, they did an outstanding job, pushing for me, and, you know, I also had to do my part with having the right accolades and being interesting enough to be on the cover of Sports Illustrated. So I was fortunate enough to do that and just have that exposure. You know, it was really cool. And then I also did the Kids Sports Illustrated.
That's right.
Which was my art pieces. And that was – that's what I really liked. I mean, to get on the front of the regular Sports Illustrated is amazing, but to do the Kids and show my passion off the field of baseball and drawing and painting – I think was really special, and so thank you to Sports Illustrated for that.
What does that do for you, the whole art and the painting? Is that kind of an anxiety release, or is it somewhat of a decompression from baseball and everything that goes along with it?
Yeah, it's kind of just an escape. I think everybody needs to have an escape to the main thing that they do and something that just kind of relaxes them and they can kind of think on their own and decompress from everything that's going on in their life. And for me, it's drawing and painting. And then I also did it in high school at Notre Dame. You know, for 4 years I was in the art program, and I built an outstanding relationship with my art teacher, Mr. Lee. And, you know, I still go back and see him all the time when we talk, and he made art really, really fun for me. I've done it at a really young age, like with my mom. When I was, I think, like 4 or 5 is like when I really started doing stuff. I learned how to write in calligraphy when I was like 9.
Jeez.
So I really like art. It's something that I really, really love to do and have a passion for.
What don't you do? Do you play an instrument?
I did play the violin, yeah.
Violin, really?
Yeah, when I was in elementary school and middle school. But baseball got really busy, so I had to drop that.
That's why you're smart. And they always say if you play instruments at an early age, it develops the brain quicker.
I believe that.
Big Russ knew.
He did know, yeah.
Get a violin. We need a violin in here.
Oh, man, they put me on the spot.
I asked you to sing, and now I'm asking you to play the violin. Oh, man. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Before we take another question, Hunter, you brought up Notre Dame High School. How much do you plan on going back? And everybody wants to know about your connection to Giancarlo Stanton. Has he helped you? Are you guys friends? What's the connection there?
Yeah, you know, I don't want to call him like a huge, like a best friend or like a really good friend, because, you know, we've kind of had encounters where we see each other and we're in the same spot. We spend time and talk, but it's not like I'm going over to his house and really hanging out with him. He's got a lot that he's doing. Obviously, he was in Miami.
Yeah.
And now he's with the Yankees. But he's great, man. I've had some outstanding conversations with him, and he's just been really cool. He's really humble, down to earth. And I've just really been able to enjoy my time with him. He's awesome, and I love watching him play the game. He hits some shots, and it's always really entertaining. And I think that's the best part of playing. And, you know, that's why people like to tune into professional sports, because it's very entertaining. They like to see guys that are, you know, 6'7", 250 pounds, monsters just hit these shots and put on a show. And that's the biggest thing for sports is, you know, it's a show. That's essentially what it is. And people like to get entertained, and that's what Stanton does. So I enjoy watching him and interacting with him.
Speaking of shows, LeBron James has put on a show his entire career. Mm-hmm. And every Laker fan is hoping that he's coming to play next year in purple and gold. And everybody was freaking out that he came to tour Notre Dame High School for high school for his kids. And he took a picture with the basketball team.
I saw that.
Did you know anybody on the basketball team that met LeBron? And can you break some news? Is he sending his kids to Notre Dame? And can we expect him to play for the Lakers? Come on. Come on, Hunter.
I have no idea. I wasn't there for that. Yeah, I wish I could tell you, but I wasn't there. But that's awesome that he came by. And Notre Dame's a great school, and I think it'd be a good place to send his son if they end up doing that. I think it's great for the school, and it's great for the kid and the family.
You are ready for the big leagues with those type of answers, man. You are ready. Wow. Forget about single A. You don't need an immediate training. Rob Butcher does not need to worry about you when you get to the big leagues.
Thank you.
Let's go out to the phones again in Studio City. Kevin, you're on with Hunter Green on Nissan Dodger Talk. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Dave. How you doing, man? Hunter, you're cool, man. You're awesome. You're unbelievable.
Easy guy to root for, right, Kevin?
One of the easiest, man. I saw your start against Harvard Westlake, man. It was incredible.
I appreciate that, Kevin. That was an intense game. Was it the last game? Is the one I blew the kiss in?
Oh yeah, man. That was incredible.
Thank you.
You
blew a kiss?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a very intense crowd. I wouldn't say hate, but just
yes.
Jealousy.
Yes.
And rivalry.
Yes.
And just really jealousy. And it came from the crowd. It came from the players. And I could have reacted in a way that wouldn't have been very nice. But I took the professional road, and I blew them a very nice, beautiful kiss.
What was the situation? Was it after a strikeout? Was it after you won the game?
Oh, after I won the game. Yeah, I stayed the whole game. I played all 7 innings. Our team did an amazing job competing. I remember Grant Berman. He got us the lead in the game, something like that. So that was an awesome game we had. I think like 400 or 500 people there. Great environment, but. Yeah, I blew them a kiss, and I kicked their butt.
I like that.
Straight up.
From Notre Dame High School, I like that. There is no love lost between Notre Dame and Harvard Westlake. How about Alamany and Crespi? You know, Mike Socia's son.
Yeah, he went there, yeah.
Went to Crespi.
Crazy story, actually. When I was, I want to say, 11 or 12 years old, 13, something like that, when I was about to apply for Notre Dame, I went to a Dodger game, and it was against the Angels. Mike Socia was in the parking lot. It was weird. He was in, like, the general parking lot.
He was waiting for you.
Yeah, waiting for me, right. And we were walking to our car, and we saw him. He was like, oh, Mr. Socia, like, blah, blah, blah. He started talking. I forgot what we said. And he wanted me to go check out Crespi and see how I liked it. But, yeah, that's when I first kind of, like, knew about Crespi was Mike Socia.
Yeah, he always gave me a hard time. He has his charity for high schools around L.A., okay. And he gives the money to the high schools for baseball equipment.
Nice.
And the first time he did the charity, it was a golf tournament. He said, hey, Vasse, where do you go to high school? I'll donate. I said, Notre Dame. He said, oh, they don't need any money. I'm not giving you any money. They don't need any money. Yeah. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. And if you follow Hunter Green, why don't you give your Twitter and your Instagram, Hunter, because people should follow you on social media.
So Instagram is The Real Hunter Green. There's an E at the end of Green. Don't forget that, please. And then Twitter is Hunter Green with the E at the end, 17, the number 17.
So if people follow you, they'll see you do some of your workouts and your exercises with those bands. Yeah. What are they called, Jaeger bands?
Yep, Jaeger bands.
What does that do for you? Do you feel like that's been a big reason why you've avoided major arm injuries to this point in time?
For sure. I mean, I've been doing the J-band since I was 7 years old. Alan Jaeger is a really good friend of mine. He does great things with MLB. He does the J-bands, does a lot of seminars and talks about how special and important it is to take care of your arm. Because at the end of the day, that's my lifeline. That's what gets me paid and what takes care of me. And J-bands have always helped me, and that is, the reason why I've had a strong arm and I've been able to stay consistent and stay healthy is because I do the Jaeger bands.
What kind of advice would you give kids, not only in high school, but younger? It seems like these kids now are being forced to play baseball year-round and being, I shouldn't say forced, but pushed. And talking to guys like Clayton Kershaw, they are completely against that. They encourage kids to play all other sports. Yeah. What advice would you give those kids to try to realize their dream of playing professional baseball?
You know, I think it starts, like I said, with building a passion for the game and going about it the right way. You know, for me at a young age, my dad put me in a whole bunch of environments that helped me know how to handle certain situations. For instance, he solely put me on a team to learn how to sit on the bench. And, you know, I thought it was like the worst thing ever at that age. But now that I look back and I see the importance of having patience and having to earn your spot for a team, was great. You know, I was playing 3 or 4 years up, and I was challenging myself. And to be honest with you, I did get a position on that team. I did beat out the older guy, but it taught me how to sit and how to play up with older guys. And I think that's really important for kids. Because, you know, now a lot of people, if their kid's not the superstar on the team, mm-hmm. then they just move them on to the next team. They take them off the team and put them on the other team. I don't think that's the way to go about it. I think if you want something in life, you need to earn it and go for it and go after it. And that's not what you're teaching your kid if you take him from one team and put him with another because he's not a superstar on the team. So I think that's really important for kids to understand and for parents to understand. And then for parents to, you know, just be disciplined with their kids and understand that it's a process. You know, my dad was very disciplined and very patient with me, and he did an amazing job, you know, teaching me how to be a good person and how to be a good baseball player. And if you ask him, it was just, I'm sure he'll tell you, it was about discipline. Mm-hmm. And understanding that, you know, it's a process, it's going to take a while, and it's just going to be a lot of factors in it, you know, to get to professional baseball.
In high school, you obviously protected your arm in different ways. Mm-hmm. Are the Reds doing the same thing with you in the organization now? What's the plan for you in spring training? How do you approach it? Have they laid out what they want from you and expect from you? And I guess the obvious question is, am I going to see you in big league camp this spring?
Yeah, they've shared a little bit with me, but not that much. You know, it's my first spring training. I really look forward to being out there with the guys, meeting new players. I know most of them just from playing with those guys and then going to Instructs, you know, in October. I got to meet a lot of new players, but I'll get to pretty much meet everybody and get to hit it off really well with my teammates and meet some new coaches and have my first spring training experience. What's really cool about it is I used to go to spring training with my dad when I was like 10, 11, and 12, something like that. And we'd go out there and we'd talk to the pro guys and talk to the coaches, and they'd show me pitch grips and just talk to me. And now that I'm actually a player that's there, and I'm sure I'm going to see kids, you know, that are going to be there and want to come up and talk to me, I think it's really, really cool. And to be in that position now is very special.
Fastball is your bread and butter. Everybody knows you throw over 100 miles an hour. What have they told you about developing your second pitch more and maybe a third pitch? Do you have a second and third pitch? What do you have?
Yeah, I have a changeup, slider, and a curveball.
All right.
Yeah, you can't just have a fastball, man.
I know.
Back in the day, yeah, you can blow guys away, but now it's like they can hit all that stuff.
Yeah, so how much, where do you go to? What's your go-to pitch outside the fastball, would you say?
I can't share all my secrets with you, man. Everybody's listening.
I'm a Dodger guy. I got to tell the Dodgers.
No, but I mean, you know, having a changeup is really important to throw guys off. You know, I think that's a really good pitch to have and have confidence in it. And then my slider is really my out pitch. I really should not be sharing this with you right now.
All right, we'll stop right there. But you could share with me how much you have that itch to hit. How much will you have to fight off the itch to hit?
Not really. I mean, it's a National League team, so I'll get to hit.
You want to hit more than just once a game or, you know, just as a pitcher, right?
Man, it's what the team wants, and it's for me, too. I mean, like, I want to help the team out as much as I can. If it's hitting, you know, once a game or whatever, wherever they put me in, then that's what I got to do, and I got to be happy with it, and I am. You know, okay. They drafted me. They gave me, obviously, a substantial amount of money, and I got to help the team out as much as I can. If that's hitting, then, you know, hitting every once in a while, then that's what it is.
I guess that's the blessing, that you're in the National League and you'll have that opportunity.
Yeah.
Minor leagues, do they let you, do they DH the pitcher, or do they let you hit in the minor leagues?
They let you hit. Yeah. I was fortunate enough to hit in Billings. But really, no, I don't think any other pitcher hit on my team. I think I was the only pitcher.
Well, you're that good. You're like,
no comment.
Yeah.
So I was fortunate enough to do that, and we'll see in Dayton, what they want me to do, but I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be awesome in Dayton. Because it's packed every game. I heard there's like 10,000-11,000 people every single game. It's the biggest sellout in sports history. Sports in general.
Dayton, Ohio. Dayton, baseball? Ohio.
Dayton Dragons.
Dayton Dragons.
Yeah, and it's like 30 minutes from downtown Cincinnati, something like that.
All right.
So I'll be close to the stadium. Hopefully on off days or something, I can go down and catch a game or say hi to some guys and hang out. So we'll see.
Yeah, when the Dodgers come to town, hopefully we see you out there.
Yeah, yeah. Sounds good.
And maybe you'll take some BP there. That ballpark is a hitter's haven.
Yeah. Especially in right field.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
people,
I'm looking forward to
guys
that.
Love to hit there.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Let's take one more phone call before we say goodnight. Northridge, Sean, you're on with Hunter Green. What's up, Sean?
How's it going, guys? Good evening. Hunter, you sound like a great, humble kid. I can't wait to actually see you play in the major leagues. But my question for you is, since I know you were drafted out of high school, if you were given the opportunity, what college would you want to play for?
I was actually committed to UCLA. So I committed my freshman year to UCLA, and that was a great commitment. Obviously, I didn't end up going, but Coach Savage, you know, all the coaches there at UCLA are awesome. They're great people, great coaches, great great college, you know, for academics and for baseball. And I was really looking forward to it. Obviously, it worked out differently, but, you know, I look forward to going there and being able to hang out with some of my friends. A lot of my friends I played with in high school ended up going to UCLA, and I look forward to, you know, either going to some football games, some basketball games, and baseball games and supporting them and checking them out.
Hunter, we have one more phone call. She's a very loyal listener and a big sports fan. Her name's Isabel. Izzy is her nickname. And,
hey, Izzy.
Say hi to Hunter Green, Izzy.
Hey, Hunter. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Well, you answered my first question, so I'll just get to my second question. Did you ever listen to Vince Scully? Did you have any favorite memory about Vince Scully?
Yeah.
Yeah,
definitely. I remember being in the car with my dad, and the games we couldn't go to, you know, we'd listen on the radio and just listen to his voice. You know, he always had an amazing voice. And I actually cried, to be honest with you, when I was watching the World Series when he threw out the pitch. I was bawling in my room in Vegas. And it was just very, very special. Like, that moment, it just got to me, and I started crying. And it was awesome to see that he was there and all the support from the fans and the standing ovation. And I was crying because, you know, he's done an amazing job for the Dodgers in announcing. And he has a very special voice that just kind of makes you tear up when he says something just right. So
I'm going to let people in on a few stories. Hunter Green wanted to meet Vin Scully really bad, and he would try to – I wanted to make that happen for him, and Hunter would show up to the game so late. He'd show up at like 45 minutes before first pitch, and he text me, "Hey, can I get in to see Vin Scully?" I said, "No way, man. He's getting ready for the game." So yeah. Did you ever find a way to meet Vin Scully?
Nope, still haven't. That's still on my bucket list, so I got to do that. I came really, really close. I went up to that level where he announces where the press box is, and we couldn't get in there. But I pushed for it. I guess I just wasn't cool enough to meet him.
Feel free to get to the game before or a little bit earlier.
All right.
Well, now you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. Well, I know he's in the suite now, so maybe I got to hunt him down and get through that suite.
Yeah.
Get through those doors.
You'll be in Dayton, Ohio, though, when he's in the suite.
Yeah, you're right.
Off-season, we got to find a way to connect you guys.
Off-season, sounds good.
Vin Scully's friends, make that happen for Hunter Green.
Please.
Valley Boy wants to meet Vin Scully, who does live somewhere, parts unknown, in the San Fernando Valley. So,
did his nephew go to Harvard Westlake?
I'm not sure.
I think so.
I don't know the Scully family tree of schools, Hunter. I'm sorry. Just like I can't get you in a half hour before first pitch.
Come on, man. Where's your pool at? Oh,
okay, how about this? I'll bring a friend over to a game that you're starting, and I'll knock on the door 30 minutes before you're supposed to take the mound.
I will. I'll answer it.
No,
I'm
you
nice
wouldn't.
With fans.
No, you wouldn't. You just told me you flipped the switch after long toss. No way.
You're right. You got me on that one.
Hey, this has been a real pleasure, Hunter. Thanks for coming in, giving up your Friday night. I appreciate that. And continued success with the Reds organization and, you know, continued success and support with your charities that you're doing to help the homeless and the underprivileged here in Southern California. And if you want to give out a website where people can help, feel free to do that right now. But I'm sure on your Twitter, people can find the links to help contribute to what you're doing.
Yeah, I'll probably be doing something every single year and doing some type of drive. So if you guys, you know, stay locked in on my Instagram and Twitter, you guys will see everything and see the information of how to donate and help us out as much as we can. I'd really appreciate it.
And if you missed any of this interview, you could podcast it at am570lasports.com. Thanks to Ronnie Fascio and Rudy. Forgot your last name. Sorry, Rudy. You did a great job, though, tonight. Thanks to all of you for your help. And want to remind you, our next Nissan Dodger Talk will not be as cool as this one, but it is next Tuesday at 6 o'clock, and we'll see whether or not we can reel in a big fish, maybe Clayton Kershaw or somebody like that. Yeah. Only guy to upstage Hunter Green might be Clayton Kershaw, right?
Yes, a little bit of Clayton.
You have a message for Clayton Kershaw?
I love watching you pitch, man, and I look forward to... I don't think I've met you yet.
Yeah.
I think you were doing your thing when I was at Dodgers getting ready for the game, so I'd love to meet you and talk about some pitches and some pitch grips and stuff. So
I'll play that for him. He'll be like, yeah, that'll be great.
All right.
Hunter, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
See you out there in Arizona.
Sounds good. Let's do it.
All right, guys. Next Tuesday night, Dodger Talk, 6 to 7. See ya.